You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:50am with Stephen Powell, Rory Delaghi and Mick Norton in the studio. Good afternoon of Jumps Racing with day one of the Tingle Creek meeting at Sandown. That card includes a Grade 2 at Novices Hurdle. We've also got a good card at Exeter. The new one makes his chase debut there. Racing over the obstacles at Sedgefield as well. And the usual Friday evening on the all-weather with Wolverhampton and Dundalk. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Hello, Mark. I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Not so bad. Not so bad at all. Bit of news to start with, Sean, and then we'll get stuck into Friday's action. Another potentially big weekend for the Tizzards. They've got leading claims in the Beecher Chase with Vicomte de Noia. Can it be another big Saturday winner for them, do you reckon?
Gosh, they'll be hoping so, won't they? They've been in Dreamland all season, really. They've got an embarrassment of riches with their staying chases in particular. And in Vicomte de Noia, they have a horse who's not in the same class as the likes of Native River, Thistlecrack, and of course Q Card.
But not many are, to be fair.
No, but he's a really good horse in his own right. He's now rated in the mid 150s on the back of that win in a Grade 3 handicap at Cheltenham last time out. And he's a fascinating contender in the Beach, and in what looks a really good renewal of the Beach Chase. Myself and Darren Owen were talking about this race. I'd have to talk to Darren about a race over the national fences, wouldn't I? And we were saying a turnout of 24 is an absolutely cracking turnout. We don't always get huge numbers for this race, but the prize money has been increased. I think it's worth £78,500 to the winner. It's £140,000 guaranteed pot, and you can see why so many trainers, owners have wanted to have a crack at it with their horses.
Yeah, I think Alvarado's back out in one of the races, isn't he, over the large obstacles? Who?
Yeah, he's in the Beecher.
He'll finish fourth over the national fences. Any other news on your mind? We're going to talk about some big news in the Tingle Creek in a moment or two. But any other stories caught your eye before we get stuck into that?
Yeah, as you say, we've got the Tingle Creek. We'll touch on in a second. Yeah, other than the Tingle Creek, I wasn't sure there was much going on. It's been a quiet midweek with regards to the racing world. More's been happening on the bloodstock side. I think it's been a big mare's sale taking place in Newmarket this week. Plenty of high class mares have been going through the sales ring, and indeed the dam of this year's Derby winner Harzand passed through the sales ring and made 2 million guineas a little earlier in the week. So that's probably the big news on the horse front, but not to do with racing, of course. But the dam of Harzand has already bred a Derby winner, of course, in him, and I think she's been bought by connections of the Coolmore Emporium, and they'll be looking to breed another Derby winner offer, no doubt.
Yeah. Big news on the bloodstock side of things then. Right, we're going to talk about the Tingle Creek in a moment or two, but before we look at this year's renewal, it's time for a segment that we'll be doing all week on the podcast, Sean. We're going to look back at some of our favourite memories in the Tingle Creek as Sean Quinn takes us down memory lane. That's what we're doing, you see. We're going down memory lane with Sean Quinn. Favourite Tingle Creek memories this week with the Tingle Creek taking place at Sandown on Saturday. So the floor is yours, Mr. Quinn. What is your favourite Tingle Creek memory?
We're going back 10 years, Mark, to a time when I was about 4 years of age. Corto Stars 2006 at Tingle Creek, sponsored by William Hill, I must add. William Hill Tingle Creek in 06.
The good old days.
It had to be this race, didn't it? This race really marked Corto Star out as something truly special to me, as if he hadn't already proved it. But a couple of weeks before this, over 3 miles, his first attempt at 3 miles, he'd won the Betfair Chase. Connections dropped him back a full mile. He was taking on the young superstar two-mile chaser and a horse who was going to prove himself to be one of the very best two-mile chasers of his time in Vaupor Estetis, who'd won the Arkell the previous season at the Cheltenham Festival. But Quarto Star made Vaupor Estetis look quite moderate. He beat him by 7 lengths, was sent off odds on, and the result never looked in doubt, of course. Vaupor Estetis later that season went on to win the Champion Chase at Cheltenham, confirming this Tingle Creek to be one of the very best of that generation. Of course, Quarto Star, well, we all know what he did on the back of that Tingle Creek success. Back up to 3 miles. He won the King George at Christmas time. He won his trial at Newbury in February. And, of course, he won the Crown Jewel itself, the Cheltenham Gold Cup in 2007. But that was his only try at 2 miles during that season, Mark. And he beat a very, very good horse in Vaupor Estetis. And it's a race that will live long in my memory for sure.
Yeah, it was a superb renewal of the Tingle Creek, two horses that went on to superb things afterwards in the shape of Quarto Star and Vaupor Estetis. Great memory to look back at there on this latest edition of... Say it with me, Sean. Memory Lane. You missed it. Never mind. Nobody ever gets that bit right. There we go. That's another Memory Lane. It's my favourite feature at the moment.
The Memory Lane feature.
The Memory Lane feature.
That's just because you get to play a bit of fancy music, isn't it?
I get to wheel my piano in.
We don't get to broadcast music, do we, really?
We don't.
No.
We don't.
Will probably cost us a lot in rights.
Yeah, well, I managed to find that one. We've got rights to this one.
Oh, do we?
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to go with the Hovis advert music or something like that. Last of the Summer Wine or something.
Yeah.
We didn't have rights for that. This year's renewal of the Tingle Creek, big news. Duvan will not take his place in the lineup under Sir now. 13-8 at the top of the betting, 5-2 Cider Grugy, Armad 100-30, Godzone 5-1, 25-1 Sir Valentino, Vibrato Valtat the 25-1 outsider of the field. Interesting movements in the betting this week, Sean. Duvan went odds on, drifted back out to odds against. Under Sir then shortened into second favourite. No, yes. Duvan all of a sudden under Sir's favourite.
Yes, I mean, it would have had anti-post punters pulling their hair out, I'm sure, trying to second guess. Maybe it was just one of those races not to second guess and just wait until the decks. Of course, that's easier said than done. And if you'd got 4 or 5 to 1 about Duvan at the start of this week and then saw him shorten to odds on, you'd be licking your lips and rubbing your hands together only to then see him not turn up. But such are the riches that Willie Mullins has in his yard. It's understandable that he leaves it as late as he does. Of course, anything can happen with these horses. They're fragile creatures. And who knows, it might have even come down to a crucial piece of work on Wednesday or Thursday morning. Of course, this piece recorded on Thursday morning. Mm. And it might have been a crucial piece of work that was dependent on whether Underso or Duvan turned up. But as it is, it's Underso who has shown up, a horse who's shown decent form here at Sandown in the past. He was second to the great sprinter Sakura a little earlier on this year in a Grade One, well beaten by that horse that day. His form was probably just on the wane at the time. He'd been beaten in the Champion Chase, albeit not beaten very far, just over 3 lengths by sprinter Sakura. But he certainly didn't look in the same sort of form he had done around the months in the earlier part of the winter, Mark. And I think he's very interesting here coming into this race fresh off the back of a break. It's certainly not going to be an easy feat for Underso to win. He meets several rivals that are rated in and around him. But I do think he is the deserved favourite, and I think he's the most likely winner.
Okay. Most likely winner in Underso in the Tingle Creek Chase, just ahead of the Gary Moore pair in the betting, Cider Grugy and Armad, and Godzone for the informed Tom George, the only other one in single figures at the moment. We'll leave that there. We'll move on to matters a little more pressing than Saturday's action, because we've still got to look ahead to Friday's, and Sean's got four races prepared for us for Friday. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, we start a look ahead to Friday at Sandown in the 225. This is a Neptune Investment Management Novices Hurdle, a Grade 2 event registered as the Winter Novices Hurdle. It's over just short of 2.5 miles, a field of 7 to go to post for this year's renewal. And Ballyandy will be on a lot of shortlists, I imagine, here, Sean. Is he top of yours?
He is. This is a race that's turned out some cracking horses in recent years. In the last 5 years, we've had the likes of Fingal Bay, Tacking de Sol, and Vita Du Rock winning. So it is a really good novice hurdle for the time of year. And I think that the step up in trip for Ballyandy is going to prove key. And this is his first crack at what is nearly 2.5 miles on a very stiff track. He ran a really good race at Cheltenham last time out, beaten less than 3 lengths by Moonracer, even though he was a beaten favourite that day. But that race was very tactical, wasn't it? And Moonracer dictated those tactics and showed a better turn of foot than the rest. Quite simply, he was a quicker horse and is a quicker horse than the rest of his rivals that day. Ballyandy stuck to his task really well, though, and galloped right to the line. I would imagine Connections will be hoping he shows improved form at this intermediate trip, and you would think he'd be the ideal horse to end up in the 2.5 mile novice hurdle at the Cheltenham Festival, as opposed to the Supreme Novices next March. Well, of course, there's a lot of water to pass under the bridge, but I think he's very interesting. We know what a good bumper performer he was. Of course, he won the Cheltenham bumper last season, and I am looking forward to him stepping up in trip. He's got some really worthy rivals, though, in this race. The likes of Messier Desobo, who won in impressive fashion at Bangor last time out. In a handicap, he's up to 139 on the back of that. So a novice rated nearly 140 is well worth his place in a race of this nature. You've got a horse in Aintree My Dream, who's in really good form, albeit he needs to take his form to another level, I feel, to win this. Spassionado has been a real improver in recent weeks and months for Stuart Edmonds and his team. This is his toughest task to date, but he's definitely worth a crack at this race. I do feel, though, that it's all about Ballyandy, and think he'll be mightily hard to beat.
Ballyandy, then, hard to beat, in Sean's opinion. Like yourself, Sean, I'm looking forward to seeing him step up in trip there, so yep. Should be interesting to see how he gets on. The 3 o'clock at Sandown is where we go next. This is a Class 3 handicap chase. It's over just short of 2 miles. We've got 7 of them in the lineup for this one. Where do you want to start in there, Sean?
I quite like the horse that's at the top of the weights here, Mark. Red Devil Star, a horse who's only had a couple of starts over fences, but has made a really good transition to the larger obstacles, I feel. He certainly looks like he's going to be a better chaser than a hurdler. He was a good third behind Arda May in a beginner's chase, 2 starts back around Fontwell. It was a 25-1 shot that day, but was only beaten 11 lengths or so. That was really good form. And then last time out in a novice's handicap, quite a competitive one around Wincanton, he was second behind Sirabad. Again, that was a really good run. He was beaten 9 lengths, but beat the remainder of his rivals quite convincingly that day. And as we know, Sirabad is not a bad handicapper for the Paul Nicholls camp. So Red Devil Star is the most interesting. He'd get the vote for me here. His likely rivals are Gore's Island, who has run 2 decent races this season, was second at Plumpton last time out. Probably needs to run his best race for quite some time, though, to be winning this. Ups and Downs is a horse who is coming to the boil and has found his handicap mark slipping in recent times. He was as high as 130. He's now down to 116. But last time out at Worcester, it signalled that he might be ready to capitalise on it. He'll need to find more to beat Red Devil Star, but he could be the one to give Susie Smith's charge the most to think about.
Yeah, but you are with Red Devil Star?
Yep.
Right, that's Sean's thoughts on the 3 o'clock then. Moving to Exeter for the 3:15 next. Class 2 at Novices Chase here, over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. 6 of them to go to post here, Sean, and a very interesting chase debutante in the shape of the new one.
Yeah, absolutely. The new one making his chase debut at the age of 8, so he's no spring chicken. And he meets with some very, very worthy rivals here, doesn't he? The likes of Rock the Casbah, Froden and Barney Dwan are all good horses who look to have taken well to larger obstacles, and all have age on their side. They're aged between 4 years and 6 years. So whilst 2 of them have to concede weight to the new one, and Barney Dwan runs off levels with him, I don't think Nigel Twiston Davis' horse is going to have things all his own way. But of course, he was a very high-class hurdler. He's a Cheltenham Festival winner. Never quite managed to bag that champion hurdle. He fell short of champion hurdle class. But even again this year, he was 4th behind Annie Power in the champion hurdle, confirming himself just a very, very good horse, one that rarely runs a bad race. And if he takes defences, then for sure he's going to be very, very interesting indeed. But he's probably going to go off favourite here, Mark, and might be a little bit shorter than punters would fancy. I mentioned Rock the Casbah. He was third in a good Cheltenham Novices chase last time out. Froden was well beaten at Cheltenham last time out, but that came in the big handicap chase at the open meeting. Back into novice company here. He's going to find things a lot easier. And Barney Dewan was in the process of winning at Kempton before making a Horlicks of the last fence. He did very well to stay on his feet, slithered down to his knees, but managed to get back up onto his feet to finish second behind Potter's Legend. He could be he certainly looked to be an improved chaser. I'll probably just go with Rock the Casbah. I didn't think he ran a bad race at all last time out at Cheltenham, but this is just going to be a really interesting race. There are several horses with different profiles thrown into the melting pot here, aren't there?
Yeah, it's a real interesting race. It's thrown up some nice winners in the past as well. So
it has.
No change this year. And Rock the Casbah is the selection for Sean. And the final race we look at is the 6:15 at Wolverhampton, a Class 3 handicap over almost 6 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older, 13 of them to go to post here, Sean. And I thought this was quite tricky, so I'll let you do all the talking, yeah?
Yeah, this is certainly the trickiest of the four races you've given me, Mark. I thought Nimmer, though, is interesting for Richard Fahey, running the colours of Al Shakab Racing. This horse is a 3-year-old, but he's only had 5 career starts to date, so he is a lightly raced sort. I'm not sure the reason why he's so lightly raced, but he's shown a good level of form in those 5 starts. Connections have tried him over 7 furlongs and a mile recently, but they drop him back to 6 furlongs here, which I think is interesting. And I don't think Al Shakab would have kept this horse in training if they didn't feel that he was better than he's been able to show thus far. He's running off 88 here, but he hasn't run since June. You would have imagined he'd have probably been in the sales if that was all he was.
Yeah.
And he could be an interesting performer for Richard Fahey this winter at Nimmer. He's drawn in 8. It's okay, the draw. But I just thought, dropping back in trip, he might be worth taking a chance on Nimmer. He could be a half-decent price.
All right, good stuff. Nimmer then, take a better chance on that one in the 6:15 at Wolverhampton. As usual, Sean, quick summary before you go. Just confirm your 4 selections for us then for Friday's action.
No problem, Mark. At Sandown in the 2:25, I'm going to go with Ballyandy stepping up in trip. We then have the 3 o'clock at Sandown. I like the top weight here, Red Devil Star, who's run well in a couple of chase starts recently. We then go to Exeter for a cracking novice's chase, which sees the new one make his chasing debut. I'm going to go with Rock the Casbah, though, who could be more appealing at the prices. And then in the Wolverhampton 6:15, I'm going to side with Nimmer, who I hope would be a half-decent price, and you could probably back him each way.
Superb. Thank you very much, Sean. Good luck and enjoy it on Friday.
Thanks, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Sean Quinn on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:50 a.m. early start, so do take a note of that. Stephen Powell, Roy Delaghi and Mick Norton are the team in the studio. It's Sandown, Exeter and Sedgefield on Friday afternoon, and the usual evening of all-weather racing. It's Wolverhampton on the domestic front and Dundalk over in Ireland, so plenty to look forward to. Do get stuck into that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.